angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" The angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. About 400 years ago, there was a young man with a lot of gifts that was suffering from very severe depression, and such that he was believed that he was damned to hell. And this was a prayer he made. "Lord, if I am going to be damned to hell, at least give me the grace to love you there." That was his prayer. And he couldn't eat, he couldn't sleep, so he lost a lot of weight and was getting sickly. On one occasion, he entered into a church in Paris, which is, in French, Notre Dame de la Victoire, which would be, in English, Our Lady of Victory. And he was on the brink of despair, and he drew close to a beautiful statue there. It was a statue of Mary. And he knelt down, he prayed a prayer that was composed by Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. The name of that prayer is the Memorare. And he knelt down, and with all the fervor of his heart, he prayed that prayer. And the temptation disappeared. And joy, great joy and peace, flooded his soul. He went on to finish his degree as a lawyer, but he wasn't happy with that. He felt God was calling him not to be a lawyer, but to be a priest. So he became a priest. And this was shortly after what we call the Protestant Reformation, and the bishop sent him to a place called Chablais, which was the stronghold of the Calvinists in Switzerland. And when he arrived there, there was about 54,000 Calvinists and 54 Catholics. But when he left, because of his work, there were 54,000 Catholics and 54 Calvinists. So basically, he converted the whole stronghold of Calvinism. This man went on to become one of the greatest doctors in the Catholic Church. According to some, he wrote the greatest treatise on love in the Catholic Church. And he wrote a book that taught Father Tim Gallagher how to meditate when he was 15 years old. The book on love is called The Treatise of Love. The other book is called Introduction to the Devout Life. I wonder if any of you would be able to tell me the name of this person I've been keeping you in suspense who this is, right? Not St. John Bosco. This is St. Francis de Sales. So it's because of the intercession of St. Francis de Sales that he was able to overcome this very severe depression. He went on to become one of the greatest priests in the Catholic Church, a bishop, and one of the most prolific writers in the Catholic Church. And I could tell you story upon story upon story. I'm a storyteller. On how many miracles have come about through Mary. I promise I'll tell you at least one more, but I'd like to tell you what is the essence of what we celebrate today. You who are experts in Mariology, we hope you are because you're coming to the parish of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. You should be the experts of Mariology in Los Angeles. Amen? There are four Marian dogmas. The Immaculate Conception, the Perpetual Virginity, her Divine Maternity, and the last, which was proclaimed by Pope Pius XII, November 1st, 1950, which would be the Assumption of Mary to Heaven. Every Catholic that loves Mary should be able to rattle those off just the way Father Broome did. And you should be able to give a concise explanation of what those dogmas are. And pray that we'll get the fifth Marian dogma, as Dr. Mark Miravalle from Steubenville is really trying to promote, that there will be the fifth Marian dogma, which would be a combination of Mary as mediatrix, co-redemptrix, and Mary as coadjutrix, which means Mary as helper in time of need. I said to some of my friends, if I were a pope, I'm not going to be the pope, but I would actually have those three as separate dogmas because they're very different. Mediatrix and co-redemptrix and coadjutrix, they're very different privileges that Mary has, which can be read in Lumen Gentium chapter 8. So what's the Immaculate Conception? Well, about 2,000 years ago, a couple suffered very much because they couldn't have children. But they were a very generous couple. They had money. They weren't multimillionaires, but they had money. And they gave a third of the money to the poor, another third to the Temple of Jerusalem, the other third they gave to themselves. So we think about tithing, they gave almost 70% of what they had away. Tithing for most of us would be 10%. That's called generosity, or magnanimity, if you like, the Ignatian word. As a result of that, one occasion they had relations, and what happened was, even in her old age, she conceived. But the key point is this. In the moment of conception, something very special happened. What would be the word, the verb? To preserve. So the moment of conception, that little baby girl, she was preserved from the stain of original sin. Preserved. Now when we were conceived, in the moment that we are conceived, poison. moral poison. What do we call that? We call that sin. Original sin. So in our conception, original sin became part of our essence. And original sin in us was washed away by baptism, but the effects, we feel them to this very day. For example, the fact that I've got a cold now is as a result of original sin, okay? Among many other effects. So Mary was preserved from the stain of original sin from the very moment of her existence. Now, how would that be played out in her life? She was like us because she was a woman. She was a human being. She was the closest to us, but also the closest to God, if you like that. She's the closest to us, our mother, our sister, our companion, but she's the closest to God. As St. Louis de Montfort says, Mary is the masterpiece of creation. She's the daughter of God the Father. She's the mother of God the Son. She's the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. She's the Immaculate Conception. And it's interesting, when she appeared 18 times in Lourdes, she revealed her identity only the 18th apparition. What did she say? Je suis l'Immaculée Conception. Parlez-vous français? Un petit peu? Un petit peu. Je suis l'Immaculée Conception. What did she say? She said, I am the Immaculate Conception. And that was 4 years after the dogmatic proclamation, 1858. When was the dogma? 1854. So a lady appears to confirm what Pope Pius IX had said in Ineffabilis Deus, the bull. She confirmed it. Now what are the effects? What are the effects of the Immaculate Conception? Number one. Mary never committed the smallest sin in the whole world. She never committed the most minute sin was never committed by Mary. She's the sinless one. Second, she was never subject to the devil. Did you know that you were subject to the devil? Did you know that? Did you know that when I baptize you, I didn't baptize all of you, but when I baptize, I do an exorcism. Do you know that? I do an exorcism. It's called a minor exorcism. So we're under the dominion of the enemy. I'm not saying you're possessed, but under his dominion we are. Mary, that never happened. Mary did not have concupiscence. You know what that is? Concupiscence. That is a disordered desire to move in the wrong direction. Aquinas calls it fomi peccati, the foams of sin. She never had that. And that means all of us are tempted to be gluttonous. We're tempted to lust. We're tempted to be lazy. We're tempted to be greedy. We want, we want, we want, we want. We're tempted to be jealous. Sibling rivalry, huh? Oh, yeah. We're tempted to be, as the Mexicans say, corajudo. Señorita corajuda. No? We're tempted to be angry, right? We're tempted to be proud. And not only are we tempted, but we give in. Mary never had that because of her perfect nature. So if Mary was so noble and had all these graces, you know what she wants to do? She wants to share these graces with you. So one of the wonderful effects of the Immaculate Conception on us is that if we love Mary, Mary is going to help us to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen? And Mary is going to be pushing us away from sin and pushing us into the heart of the Trinity. Amen, huh? Mary pushes us away from sin, gently but firmly. And she pushes us into the very heart of God. She is the full of grace. She wants to share the grace of God with all of us. So I'm going to tell you one more short story and ask Mary for special graces today. Probably the most famous Protestant convert in our country would be a man whose name is Scott Hahn, who teaches at Franciscan, where my sister graduated a few years back, or Steubenville. Scott Hahn said that in one of his talks that before he was Catholic, he was a Presbyterian minister. He says that he would go to bookstores, and a prolific reader and a prolific writer, he is. But whenever he'd go to these bookstores, he felt this magnetic attraction to go in the corner and look at the bad magazines. This would probably be, I'm saying, 30 years ago. I mean, he couldn't resist to look at the bad magazines. He couldn't. He couldn't resist it. So he said this. Someone introduced him to the rosary. He's a Protestant. He prayed the rosary once, and after he said the rosary, he no longer had any desire to look at that trash. That's one rosary. Now, all of us struggle with our own devils, don't we, huh? We all struggle with our own devils. We do. How are we going to overcome those devils? Did you hear the first reading today? The woman will crush the devil with her heel. The Bible is speaking about Eve, but speaking about the second Eve. Who's the second Eve? Hello? Second Eve is Mary. Eve said no, and she brought us disaster. Mary said yes, and she brought us the Son of the living God, our Savior. So in our struggles, let's run to Mary. In our temptations, let's run to Mary. In our sadness, let's run to Mary. In our whole life, Father Lanteri said, Maria invoca, Maria cogita. We're called to think about Mary. We're called to invoke Mary. So let's beg Mary today for a very special grace. Let's beg her with all of our heart, as Francis de Sales did. Because he prayed fervently, and she removed that powerful temptation to give into despair. Let's ask Mary with all of the fervor of our soul that we, starting today, we'll love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen.